Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
The following is the 911 call from Nathan Lee, the day Denise Lee was kidnapped.
Northport Emergency?
I just got home from work, and my wife, I can't find her. My kids were in the house, and I don't know where she is. I've looked every single place, and I don't know.
Your kids are at home by themselves?
Yes. No, I know. I don't know where mommy is.
She's never done this before?
No. I don't know. I mean, I've been home almost 10 minutes now. I haven't seen her.
All right, Nathan, I have an officer en route for you. If she does return home by the time we get their calls back, let us know, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The following is the anonymous 911 call placed by Michael King's cousin, Harold.
I'm not sure exactly what the emergency is exactly, but I think there's somebody that's been taken without their, they don't want to be where they need to be.
Uh-huh.
And they're in a 95 green Camaro from Northport somewhere.
Okay. And how do you know this?
I know.
Do you know where they are?
I have no idea.
And who did they take?
Some girl. Some girl taken anonymous. And she didn't want to, I don't think she wanted to be where she wanted to be.
Do you know who the guy is?
No.
Anything else you can tell me?
Nope.
And,
let me let you go.
Can you give me anything else?
If I find something else, I will.
Okay, can I get your name and number?
No. I'll get involved with
that. Okay.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
Born in 1981, by 2008, Michael King was known in his neighborhood as somewhat of a creep. He was a voyeur, peering through bedroom windows to watch women change. Whenever caught, he'd be sent scurrying into the night. And before you ask, listener, yes, Michael was reported to the authorities, not just for being a peeping Tom. The following audio is from a police interview with a woman who Michael King exposed himself to while she was pumping breast milk.
He purposely faced me. I mean, he could have, you know, if he had to go to the bathroom, he could have went behind a tree or, you know,
right,
turned his back. But he purposely stopped right in front of where I was and exposed himself. And I saw, like, a weird look on his face. I don't know what he was doing, but I didn't want
to. Weird, like, what?
Find out, like, I don't know, he just kind of had his mouth open, like, I don't know if it, like, it kind of looked like a pleasurable look, like something of that sort.
One woman, a neighbor on the same street, reported him to the authorities over 20 times. She turned down Michael's advances, so he began a stalking campaign, egging her home, slashing the tires of her vehicle, dumping battery acid into her pool. One night, she woke up to Michael peering in through her bedroom window, watching her sleep, an event that left her so shaken she spent a week at a relative's house before finally working up the courage to move back to her home. The following audio is from a police interview with Denise Lee's neighbor. In it, she recounts to investigators seeing the green Camaro circle their street.
I was sitting in my living room, and a green Camaro kept driving by my house, so I went outside, and he pulled into the neighbor's driveway. I made eye contact with him, he seemed normal, so I mean, I wasn't too suspicious about it, I just figured he was lost. I saw him, he had light hair, he was tall. It was anywhere between like 1:30 and 2:30, so I'd probably say around 2 o'clock, I was sitting here watching TV, and he drove by probably, I'd say at least four times, just driving like creepy back and forth very slow.
Michael King has a 12-year-old son from a previous marriage. He was a trained plumber, but spent large portions of his life unemployed. At the time of his mental collapse, he'd been without a job. A habitual liar, King's friends and family never knew what to believe. When he first started dating his ex, he told her he owned a plumbing business valued at over $1 million. He'd tell tall tales to work friends. One night, out at a local strip club, he claimed to have started a relationship with a dancer that was on the stage. Calling his bluff, a work buddy waved the dancer over and paid for a lap dance. The following is from an interview with Nathan Lee, conducted when Denise Lee was first reported missing. In the audio, Nathan gives investigators his theory on why his wife is missing. During this period, he was still considered a prime suspect.
Something that always made me nervous, and I couldn't get mad at her for, but I know she generally walked around the house in a shirt, just a shirt and underwear, and she didn't necessarily have all the blinds shut all the time. I just remember a couple times just going, you know, the blinds are open, you know, and she was like, she always say nobody can see, because our house is obviously secluded.
Back to King's ex-wife, things were never good. He'd impregnated and married her on a lie. Working long hours to keep up the facade, he ran his plumbing business. It didn't take long for this house of cards to collapse. After working months of doubles in a row, physically, Michael King gave out. He couldn't get to work for a week, and this exposed the financial entrapment King ensnared his ex-wife into. The ex-wife gave up on the marriage, falling out of love when she realized all of her expectations for her future were built on a foundation of fabrication. She found out that King was giving her half of his paycheck on 80-hour work weeks, something impossible for her new husband to maintain. She divorced King and left him with his newborn son. Michael King had two major relationships in his life. Both crumbled due to conning women with expectations of grandeur. After raising his son for years alone, Michael called up his ex-wife to explain he finally had everything figured out. He'd purchased a large Florida home with acres and a brand new truck. Michael could finally provide for her the life he promised all those years ago. This, of course, was a lie. The man was just up to his old tricks. After months of living in Northport, she watched as Michael slowly exposed his hand. The truck was repossessed, the house went into foreclosure, and eventually, he stopped giving his ex-wife money. And, like before, she was gone. Michael would never be capable of living up to his end of the bargain. He wasn't equipped to do so. Nothing had changed. With his ex-wife moving out again, Michael King called up his other ex. He told her that his finances were in order. They could finally marry and build that life together they always planned. But his ex knew better. She knew his tricks by now. She told him that she was busy at work and couldn't talk on the phone, that he could call her again during a non-work shift. She never heard from him again. The following is audio from a woman who believes that Michael King psychologically manipulated her, taking advantage of her drunken state, getting her to believe that her significant other was cheating on her, and then drugging her beer before raping her after she passed out.
Like, you know, he used to buy prostitutes before he met me, and he was, you know, a bad person, and this and that, and just trying to, like, you know, just fill my head with, you know, stuff about John. I don't know why, but he was just, he convinced me to go to his house for one day.
And you don't remember why?
Well, it was because he was saying all that stuff about John.
Okay.
So it made me mad, and I believed him.
Okay.
And so I stayed there one night, and we rented movies and watched movies.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like the whole entire time I was there, all he was doing was telling me more and more stuff about John. And then I was like, no, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, I just knew it. I knew he was lying.
And John didn't consume alcohol with you?
John and I?
I'm sorry.
Mike, no.
Michael. No, okay.
You had sexual intercourse with Michael?
Yes.
Okay.
I was drunk.
Okay.
So I don't really know.
When you realized that you were having sex, explain to me that, where you know, how you came to realize that was going on, if that makes sense.
Well, it was like I was sleeping,
mm-hmm.
and I woke up.
And he was engaging in intercourse with you while, when you woke up, it was already going?
Yes.
Okay.
Michael King liked to wear a hat to cover the divot in his head. As a child, he was sledding downhill. At full speed, his head connected with a metal railing, connected to a barn for foundation. That divot went beyond a simple visual. It caused brain damage that could never fully be calculated. It affected Michael's mood, IQ, and emotional development, and I believe that it certainly played a role in his crimes and subsequent downfall. His parents hold part of the blame. Neighbors took one look at Michael in the immediate aftermath of the barn support crash and told his parents to get their child to a hospital. His mother and father neglected to do so, instead opting to hand Michael a slab of frozen hamburger from the freezer and instructed him to place it on his divot. Whether this was from ignorance or negligence can't be determined by the listener. The following is audio of an interview with a 13-year-old girl. She describes her run-in with Michael King, in which she got off the bus and Michael, in his car, began circling her like a shark.
Okay, I got off the bus, and then I called my mom to ask if she can come pick me up, and then she couldn't because my dad was in the reserves.
Mm-hmm.
So then I kept walking home, and I turned on, well, then I saw the Corvette pass me, and it turned on the street that I usually go on home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I turned on to, I think, Kinlock, and I turned on to Stokey, and then I saw him again. He drove past me, and then I turned on to Volgate, and then I saw him pass me again, and then I kept walking again, and then I saw him pass me again, and then I took off running home.
Pretty safe to say you got the impression that he was, you know, there because you were there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Freaked you out.
Yeah.
Okay. Scared you pretty bad?
Yeah.
According to her, she spent the walk home, evading Michael in his vehicle. In the time leading up to Michael King's rampage, he saw an on-again, off-again girlfriend. They were never too serious. She knew he was a bit slow, but he was nice to her and took her out for dinner and the occasional small vacation. But Michael would bounce back and forth between Michigan and Florida, eventually leaving his son behind with his family. On the last date she had with Michael, he didn't even bother to get furniture after his most recent move. He was sleeping on an air mattress in the center of his living room. The following audio is from an interview with Michael King's on-again, off-again girlfriend.
And to my understanding, Michael King is your boyfriend?
Yes.
Okay. And how long have you and he been seeing each other?
It would be about a year, off and on.
Okay. Other than him filing for bankruptcy, are there any other issues, I guess, or any problems that he might be going through right now? I mean, how is he doing at work? Are there problems at work?
He's not working right now. He put some applications in, and the people are supposed to get a hold of him for the plumbing, and he has it.
Up north or down here?
Here.
And is that why he decided to go back to Michigan?
Yes. Yeah. There's no furniture in the rest of the house.
Let's head back to January 17th at 9 p.m., where we left off last episode. It's evening. Deputy Christian Weimer and State Trooper Edward Pope are posted at Toledo Blade Boulevard near Interstate 75, watching for a green Camaro from a series of Be on the Lookout announcements, or BOLOs. The officers have a description of the car, a license plate number, and driver's license photos of Lee and King. At 9:10 p.m., a green Camaro matching the description given in the bolo drives from Toledo Blade Boulevard onto the on-ramp for I-75 southbound. Trooper Pope follows the Camaro and runs his lights and sirens. Eventually, the car pulls over. Based on the information he had at the time, Pope conducts a felony stop.
He was a little apprehensive at first, showing his hands. At one point in time, he got a little resistant, got him back to the vehicle.
Did he say anything?
There was a lot of things that were uttered during the tours at the time. As I was maneuvering around traffic, I had that sensation in my mouth that, that I felt nauseous. What most officers talk about, the hair standing up in the back of your neck. At that point in time, I realized that he was manipulating the door to try to find me through his rearview mirror. And I gave him another order to get out of the vehicle. He continued to manipulate the door. At this time, I felt that there possibly some sort of firearm or something that he was obviously trying to do. I had not had the opportunity to view the inside of the vehicle, so at this point in time, I still didn't know whether or not Denise was in the vehicle. I had questioned again Mr. King about where she was, where her abouts were, and he refused to comply or answer. We did locate a piece of paper on the floorboard of the vehicle, had a footprint. There was a gas can on the passenger seat. In the rear of the vehicle, there was a blanket.
Listener, it being the holidays, sometimes my finances can take a hit. There have been times where I've had to borrow money that took a while to recover from financially. And we've all been there, spending more than we should during the holidays. Take control of your finances by using a Chime checking account with features like no monthly or maintenance fees, fee-free overdraft up to $200, or getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. Learn more at chime.com/obscura. I've had times during the holidays where it's gone as far to where I've overdrafted, but if I was with Chime, they would have allowed me to overdraft up to $200 with no fees. Join millions of Chime members who are working on financial progress. Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawal. No monthly fees or maintenance fees, and over 50,000 fee-free ATMs. To date, Chime has spotted members over $32 billion in transactions through SpotMe. Friends give friends a boost. Eligible members get complimentary boosts to temporarily increase friends' SpotMe limit. When you give a boost, they can boost you back to temporarily raise your limit. Here's how it works. Set up direct deposit in your Chime account. After a qualifying direct deposit of $200 plus, Chime will notify you to enroll in SpotMe. With an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to $200 on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. Your next direct deposit is applied to your negative balance. Chime never charges overdraft fees for using SpotMe. Enjoy the holidays while keeping your financial goals on track with Chime. Open your account in 2 minutes at chime.com/obscura. That's chime.com/obscura. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank, N.A., or Stride Bank, N.A., members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirement and overdraft fee limits apply. Direct deposit timing depends on submission of payment file. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs and for OTC withdrawals. Pope orders the driver to exit the vehicle multiple times, but the driver refuses to comply. Only after the fifth command, during which Pope advised that if King did not comply, he would fire into the vehicle, the door opened and the driver exited from the front door backwards, leaning over the console towards the passenger seat. Pope identifies the driver as a perfect match to the person on Michael King's driver's license. During the stop, Pope observes that King is wet from the waist down and has mud resin on the base of his shoes. King is wearing jeans and a shirt with a camouflage pattern. On the bra of the Camaro, Pope observes hair strands. He also observes hair strands on the spoiler with what appears to be blood pellets. A viscous, sap-like substance is present on the bra of the car that's not quite identifiable. Inside the vehicle, Pope observes a gas can on the passenger seat and a cell phone battery on the passenger side floorboard, Pope finds a heart-shaped ring on the back seat floor. For the first time in 5 years, Denise isn't wearing it. The following is audio of Nathan Lee at the exact moment he was shown the ring.
Is this her ring?
Yes. It's not the first ring I gave her for Valentine's Day.
How confident are you that's her ring?
100%.
The following is audio from two brief police interviews with Michael King. In both interviews, he is uncooperative.
At one point, did you tell that trooper, did you say that you wanted a lawyer?
All the way through? As soon as they put me on the ground.
That one trooper?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All of them, actually. I was telling every one of them.
Okay. And at one point, when you saw me, you told me that you come out to me and said you were the hostage? You were a victim, you were a hostage?
Did I tell you what now?
Do you recall that?
I told somebody.
You told me that you were a hostage and that you were a victim. You started the conversation with me, and when we finally figured out that you were saying that you were, a victim as well.
Yeah. Right.
You understand that? Okay. So that is true?
Right.
Okay. You understand right now you're being detained for questioning. Having these rights in mind, do you wish to talk to us here now?
No, I just want an attorney.
You want an attorney?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't think that's right.
You know, I'm sorry?
So better have an attorney.
Okay.
Man, I'm a bad dad.
Sounds like it. I don't know. I just got to work. I'm working here at night, so.
Took got hijacked. That's all I know, is a bunch of crazy shit.
Hijacked?
Well, when I pulled over to the side, I could tell he grabbed me and threw me in the, across the passenger seat, and, into the floorboard and put some stuff on my legs and my hands, and then he duct taped me.
In your own car?
Yeah, man. Fucking had him too quick. I didn't open the door, just grab right here. Right to the floor, man. Just put my hands on my back and put, like something tight, and it went around my ankles, man. I couldn't even move, man. He's like, "You move, I'll just kill you." Just shut up. That's what happened.
Oh, I didn't know about all that. Well, I guess what I'm learning here is you're claiming to be a victim.
I am. But
okay.
I understand.
But no one can help you because no one is helping the situation here. We can't talk to you because you said you didn't want to talk to us, is where we're at.
Well, they don't know if I'm going to stay here or can I go or what? I mean, they don't know.
I can't help you unless you want the help, or I can't talk to you unless you want to talk to me.
There's no way to get an attorney or something that I could talk to and find
that's
out
right.
So I can get out of here. That's the only way to do it, I think.
Okay, so what are you saying?
I'd better have somebody I can talk to that I can talk to that get me out.
You're welcome to use this. I can't tell you anything else. I mean.
So am I being arrested then? For anything? I mean, they can't hold you unless you're going to be arrested.
That part, I honestly don't know.
I mean,
the gist of what I heard is you said you were a victim.
They're holding me against my will. I get handcuffed.
Yeah, they're definitely detaining you. I can see, we both know that.
The following audio is from an interview with Michael King's cousin, Harold.
Mike King came over and he walked into the kitchen. I need to borrow a gas can and shovel and a flashlight. Okay. I got a flashlight in my room on that work. Walked out the trailer, got a can and shovel. Gave it to him, and then he said, gotta go. Headed toward his vehicle, was parked across the road, and I see him in there wrestling with somebody, and I heard some girl say, call the cops. And he goes, don't worry about it, and he took off.
When you called your daughter, what did you tell her?
I told her that I think something's up, because Mikey had someone in the car that I don't think she wanted to be there, and she said, you need to call the cops. I said, yeah, I know, and I rode Mikey for things. She was really up, He'd had in the past, he'd had some girlfriends that are really, that I hear from.
killed my mother, telling my mom that somebody drove me, was kind of out there, you know.
Could you see if anything was binding her in any way?
Obviously, if she wanted to call the cops, she would have been out of there by then. I'm assuming she wasn't coming back.
But you didn't see anything
by that, you know.
After the car is towed to the Northport Police Department, a shovel with dirt caked on the underside is discovered in the back seat. A palm print found on the outside of the driver's side window of the Camaro is identified as belonging to Denise Lee. DNA testing on the hair recovered from the outside of the Camaro is a match to Denise. Hair found in the back seat of the Camaro is another match. A blanket located in the back seat tests positive for blood and matches Lee's DNA. Blood found on the outside of the Camaro is a DNA match. Similarly, the sap-like substance found on the bra of the Camaro matches the known DNA profile of Denise Lee. After a search warrant is obtained, a thorough search of King's home is conducted. Upon entering the house, an evidence technician observes that there are a number of rectangular mirrors hanging on the wall side by side in the dining room. However, there is also one set of hooks on the wall not supporting a mirror. Upon entering the master bedroom, the technician notes that a yellow blanket covers the window. A Winnie the Pooh blanket, pillows, and wads of duct tape with hair attached are on the floor. Directly across from the pillow and the blanket, a mirror identical to those hanging in the dining room was propped against the wall. In the kitchen, the technician observes an intact roll of duct tape on the bar. A garbage bag in the pantry contains more duct tape with hair attached. The Winnie the Pooh blanket found in the master bedroom tests positive for blood and semen. The semen found on the blanket is a DNA match for Michael King. The hair and blood throughout the house belongs to Denise. An investigator notices an area of land near Plantation Boulevard in Northport where the earth appears to be disturbed. In the vicinity of the disturbed area are two small piles of sand that are out of place for the normal terrain. In those two piles of sand are what appear to be blood. An excavation is ordered for the morning of January 19th. As the team removes the earth, they notice scallop marks, which are consistent with a round-nosed shovel digging straight down into the earth. At a depth of 3 feet 1 inch, the team discovers the nude body of Denise Lee. Lying on her side in a fetal position, a gunshot wound is visible on the body, and there is water in the bottom of the hole. After the body of Lee is recovered, a single 9mm shell casing is discovered in the grass near the gravesite. A couple hundred yards away from the gravesite, a crime scene technician recovers a pair of boxer shorts owned by Nathan Lee, but often worn by Denise Lee, and a shirt belonging to Denise Lee. The boxer shorts test positive for sperm cells, and those cells match the DNA profile of King. Denise Lee died from a single gunshot wound to the head. The gun was placed against Lee's head at the time it was fired. The location of the entrance wound was to the right of Lee's right eyebrow. The gun was in her field of vision, and her eyes were open when she was shot. When the gun was discharged, one of Lee's eyes exploded and sprayed ocular fluid on the bra of the Camaro. This fluid would later be described as sap-like by investigators. There was aspirated blood in Lee's lungs, which indicated that Lee may not have gone quickly. She may have been alive when she was buried. Lee's arms were covered with lacerations and bruising, consistent with defense wounds. She had both vaginal bruising and anal tearing, consistent with insertion trauma. These injuries occurred pre-mortem. Semen recovered from Lee's vagina matched the DNA profile of Michael King. The jury convicts Michael King of first-degree murder, involuntary sexual battery, and kidnapping. During the sentencing phase, King's defense argues that he is too incompetent for the death penalty. They explain that when he was 17, after watching the movie The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, he obtained a chainsaw and started chasing family members and friends with it while exhibiting no expression on his face. At the age of 13, while acting out a cartoon, King nearly killed his brother with a bow and arrow. After his sledding injury, King required special education services. King's most recent verbal IQ score placed him, according to doctors, in the borderline mentally retarded range.
The jury in the Michael King trial decided unanimously today to recommend that King face the same fate as his victim, Denise Lee, death. The vote was 12-0 for King to receive the death penalty. SNN Local News 6 reporter Mia McCormick is live at the courthouse now with more on this latest development. Mia.
This is a moment that many people, including the prosecution, the family of Denise Lee, and law enforcement have worked hard for. And the one word that seemed to come out of everyone's mouth is justice. The jury that took just 2 hours to convict Michael King of first-degree murder took nearly three to recommend he be sentenced to death.
Majority of the jury, by a vote of 12-0, advise and recommend to the court that it impose the death penalty upon defendant.
That recommendation closes out 3 weeks of jury selection, testimony, and the penalty phase on this trial. The prosecution, law enforcement, and the family of Denise Lee have been fighting for over a year and a half to bring forward the evidence that would convince a jury that King should be put to death. But no one fought harder than Denise Lee.
She was just so amazing, and this wouldn't be... It wouldn't have been a 12-0 verdict if Denise wouldn't have done what she did and wasn't as strong as she was, so.
Members of the jury agree.
Denise was an amazing woman to have had the presence of mind to do the things that she did in the face of knowing what was probably about to happen to her.
Her father took a moment to acknowledge that Michael King's son is also a victim.
And I'm sorry for his son's loss. But we're without Denise, our family's without Denise, and the boys are without their mother.
In total, 5 911 calls were placed the day Denise Lee died. Many in her community felt that law enforcement and dispatchers weren't quick enough, and that, despite efforts from key witnesses, Denise was let down by the systems in place. The 911 operator who took Jane Kowalski's call came forward and admitted to not dispatching deputies on the call. The operator was suspended for only 60 hours. A second dispatcher was suspended for 36 hours. The Denise Amber Lee Foundation was established in June 2008 to address these concerns. The Denise Amber Lee Act was passed unanimously by Florida legislators on April 24, 2008. It seems that Denise Lee's willingness to fight, despite her death, inspires all who hear the tale, even politicians. The act requires 911 operators to receive mandatory training. In 2012, Nathan Lee filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. Nathan received an undisclosed amount in a settlement. Michael King is incarcerated in Union Correctional Institution in Rayford, Florida, and currently awaits the death penalty.
Holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.